Okay, Parshas Yisro begins with Yisro and his daughter and his grandsons coming to the Jewish camp. And the Torah tells us, Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe, that Yisro took Tzipora Eishes Moshe Achar Shilucha. He took Tzipora after she was sent away. And the Mechilta identifies that that Tzipora was either sent away by word, because she was not Jewish, and therefore, until that point in time, B'nai Noach can be divorced simply by word, or perhaps that there was actually a get that was written. But either way, Tzipporah literally was separated from Moshe Rabbeinu completely. Now, why would she return prior to Matan Torah? What was to be the gain if you hold that this whole episode happened prior to Matan Torah? So the great Rav Shmuel Eliyahu Shlita compares the situation to that of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Yuma that a Kohen Gadol also needs to be married before he goes ahead and performs the Avodah Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur. According to Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, the dual view, man and woman, is the best way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is to say, God created two forms of human being, man and woman. And there are two different perspectives from within which men and women relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, as Matan Torah was a revelation similar to that of the Yom Kippur experience, it would be most complete with Moshe Rabbeinu married at the time, as Moshe Rabbeinu represented the Jewish people at the time. So the Torah tells us, Vayetze Moshe lekras chosno, that Moshe Rabbeinu went out to greet his father-in-law. Rabbi Beryl Wine Shlita asks why it was so important to the Torah to describe this particular interaction between Moshe and Yisro prior to Matan Torah. This is especially a strong question if we hold a Mukdam U'Me'ucha Torah, that the issues and the events in the Torah are not chronological. And so therefore, this episode's appearance right here prior to the giving of the Torah, why would the Torah want us to have the stress on Yisro? So Rabbi Wine answers that the Yisro episode teaches us the importance of an important principle in life, that Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that basic civility, is a bedrock upon which the Torah was given. We receive the Torah because we had Derech Eretz in order to deserve the Torah, and we need to preserve the Derech Eretz more so now as a result of having received the Torah. In other words, there's a dual responsibility that comes along. Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrates that proper Derech Eretz, and we need to do so as well. So the Torah tells us, "Vayisaper Moshe lechosno eischa asher asah Hashem leparo lemitzrayim," that Moshe told his father-in-law all about everything that happened to Paro and Mitzrayim. And Rashi tells us that Moshe told all of this to Yisro in order to be mekarif him to the Torah. However, that seems sort of strange, because we don't usually try to encourage people to become gerim. We actually try to discourage Gerim. So why would Moshe encourage Yisro when this appears to be Keneged Halacha? So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Shlita, the great Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, suggests that the whole reason we try to discourage a Ger is because we suspect the Ger of ulterior motives and a lack of sincerity in his Gerus. However, when the conversion candidate's Mesiras Nefesh, when it is so clear that he places his whole life into peril in order to become a ger, we don't need to shoo him away. In fact, we should offer him encouragement in the process, as Moshe Rabbeinu did. And so therefore, Rav Shimon says, Moshe Rabbeinu offered the encouragement. There are times that we must as well. So B'nai Yisrael decide that they're going to accept the Torah. And as they do, they turn to Moshe and they say, Kol ha'advarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh, that we're going to go ahead and follow all the words. And there's a famous medrash that everybody knows that discusses how Hashem offered the Torah to each and every one of the nations. And when each nation asked what the Torah was all about, the nation was offered a description that made the accepting of the Torah undesirable to that nation. So B'nai Esav, who liked to steal, so we're told that, who liked to kill, they were told Lo Sirtzach. B'nai Yishmael were told that it says Lo Signov. The fact of the matter is, each nation was given an issue that was made it clear that the Torah was going to be undesirable to them. But when it came to the Jewish nation, they simply said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Richard Mayer of Ger asked the question that why were the Jews not given a reason not to say, accept the Torah in the same way that the other nations were? It doesn't seem too fair. And if they're all the other nations were discouraged from accepting the Torah, what about the Jew? So Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Ger answers that each nation was challenged with the very idea, the very concept that they had at their core. In other words, the Torah was supposed to be able to tame that core. So therefore, if they accepted it, then they understood that they were going to have to, in order to be Baalei Torah, in order to be able to be personifications of what Torah life is all about, they were going to have to be able to overcome their core value. But the Jewish people, their primary challenge is in their skepticism. Jews, by definition, are skeptical. And by having the Jews accept the Torah fully, by saying Nasa V'Nishma, it was the ultimate challenge to the Jewish drive that stands in the way of our Torah observance and life success. Nasa V'Nishma was the ultimate response to the challenge. It was there. We find that as they stood besachta sahar, that the Jewish people stood at the bottom of the mountain. And the Gemara in Shabbos reminds us that the kaf aleim har kegigas, that God held the mountain over the Jewish people, and he said, "A mekam b'nei Yisrael satorah mutav." If the Jewish people accept the Torah, then great. And if not, shom tehek v'raschem. Then over there, that'll be their burial place. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks why the word shom, over there, is used, if the more correct word should have been kan or po, over here. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz answers that in life, if we accept things now, then we tend to stick to them. But if we don't accept them when we have the opportunity to do so, we get buried under what we call the concept of shom. Over there, when I get there, that's when I'll do things. Or what we call in English the round to it syndrome. When I get around to it, that's when I'll do it. Hashem warned Moshe to tell the people that if they wait till shom, to hake furaschem, that will do them in. And so therefore they were told, take the Torah now. Towards the end of the Sedra, the people turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and they complained, it's better that you speak to us and then we'll listen. It's better Hashem shouldn't speak to us lest we die. So Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz was once asked if there is a concept of temporary death. After all, the Gemara Megillah tells the story of how Rabban Rav Zeira got drunk on Purim, and come Rabba Vesachti Rav Zeira, that he seemed to have killed Rav Zeira. So Rabbi Yisachar Dov was asked, did Rav Zeira's wife need to remarry him after he was brought back to life after that episode? So the Rebbe turned to the asker and he says, this is Gemara Mefureshes that answers the question. The Gemara is highlighting this pasuk says that after at the time of Matan Torah, B'nai Yisrael's souls departed. Yet after the episode of Matan Torah, they're told, Shuvu lachem lo aleichem, go back home. We don't see that they had to remarry. And so therefore, Rav Zeira's wife probably did not have to marry. A temporary death is not considered death in halacha. That's not reincarnation. The pasuk tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu tells B'nai Yisrael, Bavur tiye yirasoa p'neichem levilti sechato, that the Jewish people were told that they should have the Yira of Hashem on their faces so that they shall not sin. And the Gemara identifies the Simane Yisrael as Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomel Chasadim. They're those who show mercy and they have a certain sense of busha, of humility, and they engage in Gemilas Chesed. In fact, the Gemara notes that somebody who doesn't have these midos might not be Jewish. And the question has to be asked, why? So the Gemara explains that Mamad Har Sinai is the source for the Midah of Busha, and the other Midos of Rachmanim and Gomel Chasadim also probably come from Mamad Har Sinai. Rav Shachter always used to say that that's why we say in the Haggadah, Ilu Kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, V'lo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah Dayenu, that had God brought us close to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, that still would have been enough. Why is that so? So Rav Shachter explains that the Mamad Har Sinai, the Sinaitic revelation alone, accomplished the experience of what being a Tzelem Elokim is. and what we must do in order to fill the responsibility of the halachta bidracham. In other words, just being at Ma'amar Har Sinai gave us certain lessons in midos, and we learned from that episode how we should act. The halachta bidrachav, we therefore have to follow the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Shatiya Yirasa Apanechem Levilti Sachataru, so that the Yira of Hashem should be there, that we should have the midos, and we will not come to sin. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read the Yishayahu HaNavi's description of his experience and his experience of his Masa Merkava. And he makes the declaration, Oili kinet mesi, he says, woe unto me, because I've been tamei. And that he mentions that his lips were also tamei. Rav Rivlin, the Mashgiach in Karen B'Yavna, used to ask, what was this whole tale of woe all about? And why would the Malach Yusuf Kol on Yishayahu HaNavi's lips heal him? And Rav Rivlin explains that Yishayahu HaNavi was punished for speaking badly about Am Yisrael. And he was cleaned through the Ritzba, the coal that was touched to his lips, because a Ritzba, unlike other coals, continues to glow on the inside long after the outside of the coal is burned out. Says Rav Rivlin, Lashon Hara too continues to burn long after the outside act has been done. And so the solution becomes the solution of the Ritzba. May we learn the lessons. The positive, to take positive midos out of Parshas and Haftoras Yisro, and the responsibility of the Sur Meira as well. Shabbat Shalom to all.